B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub. Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth down, less than a yard. DeMarcus Robinson comes in motion, and Mahomes sneaks it, and somebody better guard that ankle. Looks like it's a first down on the quarterback sneak by Patrick Mahomes. Is he off the field? He is not. He might be hurt, Kendall.
Oh, no.
As he went on the quarterback sneak, he is down on his left hip, and he has taken his helmet off.
This is clearly something very bad.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program, Felger Maserati, on a Friday. You know what that means, Maz?
Agenda-free.
Agenda-free Friday. But the big news last night, the injury to Patrick Mahomes. But first of all, just want to tell you, agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, over 500 pre-owned vehicles, Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. We give you opening takes. As you fill up the call screen, we, again, give you these opening takes, and we go to you as soon as you are locked and loaded. So we have released the hounds at 617-779-0985. We'll give opening takes first. Since my opening take is Mahomes, I'll go that.
Yeah, go.
And I'll just say to you fellas, so the update today is that it was, all things considered, best case scenario for the Chiefs. In other words, no severe ligament damage. It was just the dislocated kneecap, which is not a dislocated knee, and that he will be expected to return this season on the near side of the projections. In other words, three, four weeks. You play the Chiefs in, I believe, 7 weeks. It's either 7 or 8 weeks you play the Chiefs. So all things considered with that report today, he should be back in time for the Patriots, to which I say, no shot. No shot. Not the way it's going for you this year. Not the way it's going for you this era, frankly. There's no way he's back. Get ready for Matt Moore. In fact, I'll take it one step further. I'd be stunned if we don't see Trevor Siemian again this week. I'd be stunned. You know who Garrett Gilbert is, Mass?
Never heard of him.
You've never heard of Garrett Gilbert?
No, Garrett Gilbert? No, never heard of him, no.
Do you know who Garrett Gilbert is?
No, I don't know who Garrett Gilbert is.
Murray, do you know who Garrett Gilbert is?
Not a clue.
How about our intern? How about T-Bone? Anyone back there ever hear of who is he, T-Bone? Who is he?
Radio.
He was in with the Patriots, wasn't he?
Well, it says here he's the backup quarterback to Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. I've never heard of him either. But on their official depth chart, Garrett...
Any relation to Sean Gilbert?
Something named Garrett Gilbert is their backup quarterback. So, again... It's not just Matt Moore you'll be seeing in 7-8 weeks. You're going to be seeing Trevor Siemian this week. I would familiarize yourself with something named Garrett Gilbert. I'd refamiliarize yourself with Robert Griffin III. You know who he is, Maz.
Yep, Baltimore.
And he's backing up in Baltimore.
To Lamar Jackson.
I would familiarize yourself with, or refamiliarize yourself with Josh McCown. He's backing up Carson Wentz in Philadelphia.
Oh, didn't know that.
This is the way it's going for you. Of course Patrick Mahomes is hurt. Of course he is.
Now you called this pretty much going into the season.
Why would he be healthy? Why would your chief competition and the only guy that has a shot to beat you stay healthy? That's not what's happening to you in these 20 years, in this 20-year run. The guy gets hurt. So of course he's hurt. And any sort of legit competition you have, you think you have coming up, Garrett Gilbert, Trevor Siemian, Robert Griffin III, Josh McCown, and I stop there. I could find you more backups if I want coming up on your schedule, but you'll be seeing them. You'll be seeing them. What a blow for the league. What a blow for the league.
Oh, massive
brutal
blow.
Okay, you got Green Bay at Kansas City coming up in a couple of weeks, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't need to tell you the importance of Patrick Mahomes, not just to you, but to the league. So Patrick Mahomes on the table today on Agenda Free Friday. Murray, what's your opening take?
Well, I'll go on the other side of things with Denver. And if John Elway is indeed the dawn of the Broncos, then last night was the equivalent of him being whacked like Paul Castellano in front of Spark Steakhouse. And for those that don't know the reference, you don't know your mob history. Do some research. That pathetic performance by the Denver Broncos of that game, in which they scored a measly 6 points at home, was mostly thanks to Sleepy Joe Flacco, their quarterback, who was so bad. If you stayed in and watched this game,
he blows.
Holy crap. It didn't even look like he wanted to be there. It's like he was purposely trying to get sacked and holding on to it too long, throwing balls in the dirt. But by the end, he was so bad, he got screamed at by running back Philip Lindsay for an errant pass that almost got Lindsay killed. And really, towards the end, his teammates literally isolated him on the bench. It cemented the legacy of the Don, John Elway. And that is, he's a horrible talent evaluator, specifically at his own position, the most important position, quarterback. And anyone with a checkbook and a pen could have signed an HGH-fueled Peyton Manning when he came back in 2012. So he gets no credit for that. And even if you did want to call that a Don move, how's that succession plan worked out at quarterback since then? Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Case Keenum, and Joe Flacco. That's who's been the quarterbacks of the Denver Broncos since Manning walked away. And so whether it's through the draft or through free agency, it's bum after bum after bum. These guys can't play. And since winning Super Bowl 50, do you guys know what that team's record is?
No, tell.
13-26.
Ooh, really?
Yep. Since they won Super Bowl 50 against the Carolina Panthers, they are 13-26. That is not the work of a Don. That's not even the work of a low-level street soldier. That's the humiliating work of a guy who's coasted way too long because of his on-field legacy in his name. And after last night, the Bolden family, because I don't know which kid is actually running it now, they need to put out the proverbial hit on John Elway and get him the hell out of there, because that team is in a bad way. He don't know what the hell he's doing.
Okay, so I'll have an answer for that coming up in a little bit.
But I'm sure it'll be a blah.
That was a blah. Your opening take.
Okay, so again, let me get this out of the way, but the Houston Astros will be facing the Washington Nationals in the World Series because it's only a matter of time now before the Yankees are dead and buried after what happened in New York here over the last couple of days. Now 3-1, and the Astros have Verlander on tap. They still have Gerrit Cole on tap. This thing's over. It's going to be Houston, and it's going to be Washington. And, oh, wouldn't you know it? They're built in a traditional way. Oh, my God. I love this. I do. I love the fact that it's Houston and Washington. You know why? Because all the analytics and the analysts and the stat geeks and the nerds can kiss my ass with this one. Starting pitching is how these teams are built. Starting pitching, novel concept, right? 6 of the 16 top starters in the majors, based on ERA, play for the Nationals and play for the Astros. And I'm talking about Verlander, Greinke, not that he even really counts, Gerrit Cole, Patrick Corbin, Scherzer, Strasburg, all of those guys. The point is this. There's still something to be said for sort of the traditional way to win a baseball game. And that's not the only thing. You would say, well, of course, good pitching is always a good thing to have, whether it's in the bullpen or in the rotation. This whole thing about the three true outcomes, we've devalued the strikeout. And offensively, the strikeout doesn't matter anymore, right? Like, it's okay to strike out.
Yes.
You know who's struck out fewer times than any team in baseball?
It's devalued offensively, you mean, yes.
Yes, the Astros. The Astros have struck out fewer than any team in baseball. You know who is second fewest in the National League in strikeouts? The Nationals. The Nationals are the second fewest in the league in strikeouts. In fact, both of those teams are in the top two of their leagues in batting average. You know why? They put the ball in play. The other night, the Houston Astros, one of the biggest plays in that game over the Yankees, where they won game 3, was a hit and run in the 7th inning. Heaven forbid that somebody actually put a runner in motion and inspired the hitter to hit the ball the other way to get first and third. It put the Yankees in a pickle. They scored a couple of more runs. There you go. The point is this. The analytics aren't useless. Okay, they're not useless. They have value. But it's gotten to the point where it's really ridiculous. Where we've completely lost what the game is at its essence. Those are fundamental things that those teams do well that have gotten them into the World Series. Can we just save a little of that? It makes the game way more enjoyable to watch. That's all.
Okay, so there's Maz's opening take. We have a lot to get to. Anything from the week that we have gotten to or have yet to get to? A little recap of what has gone on this week. The Mahomes injury, again, what it means for the Patriots and the NFL. I do want to get back to the officiating controversy in the league and a possible use of a sky judge. We meant to get to this yesterday, and we didn't. Demaryius Thomas rips into the Patriots, and we sort of revisit that trade. I thought that was a good topic. I got a few Bruins thoughts for you off of last night. Also, again, we talked about Cassidy's comments about a goalie platoon in the playoffs. We can hit on that. We haven't gotten Maz's thoughts on a Sox GM search here in a little bit, so we can do that as well. We can circle back to the Celtics. including the definition of what contend means. We can do that. So your calls on all of it. And Jimmy, for some reason, my call screen isn't logging onto my computer. So let's can you queue up Cam and Taunton there on line four just to give us a call here in the opening segment, as I promised. Cam, what do you got?
Guys, yesterday was the two-year anniversary of the Gordon Hayward injury, and it just got me thinking, how different do you think things could have been if that never happened? Say he's, if that doesn't happen, that first year he's healthy and Kyrie stays healthy, they take care of the Cavs in five games and they're in the finals. Then there's no ill will last year because Kyrie's butting heads with the kids about who runs the team, and there's no ill will towards Hayward because Stevens is trying to force feed him minutes. Did that injury really start the beginning of the end of this rebuild?
Okay, thanks, Cam. I don't know.
It was a big factor. I mean,
was it ever going to work with Kyrie Irving in this mix and this coach? And
I doubt it. I doubt it.
It's a big what if factor, though.
It is. And I'll tell you what the other one is. And Cam may have touched on this a little bit. If Hayward stays healthy, Tatum and Brown don't get the minutes they get. Maybe they don't have the egos they have. And maybe there isn't such a wall between them and Kyrie.
Right. That's what he's driving at.
Yeah. So to me, there is a, you know, there is a little bit of a ripple effect there. But I mean, I think Kyrie Irving is genetically engineered to be a pain in the ass a-hole, don't you?
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's sort of my issue. And I guess we'll find out. I mean, I don't know. We'll see if we can keep it together in Brooklyn. But and it really isn't so much Kyrie and Hayward, because I think they could have. I think Kyrie would treat Hayward as a contemporary and give him respect and whatnot. Was it ever going to work with Brown, Tatum, and Kyrie? And I know you've said a million times Tatum and Kyrie had the Duke thing going. I don't know. I think there was a limit there to that thing. And
yeah, you might be right.
That was the fault line on the team. Those kids and Hayward. Those kids and Kyrie. So anyway, they're back at it again this year. And again, we got into a little debate about, are the Celtics going to contend? Let me ask you something, Miss.
Yeah, okay.
Here we go.
Do I have to get out my dictionary to educate myself?
You know, you don't
means?
Have to get out your dictionary.
Okay.
I just want to try and define this further.
Uh-huh.
Because you think the Jets are going to contend for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're going to make a run at a playoff spot, yeah.
What's a more likely scenario? Who's closer? The Jets to the playoffs or the Celtics to the NBA Finals?
The Jets.
Okay. I think you're so wrong about that.
Well, I'm sorry that you think I'm wrong.
The Jets are about to be 1-5.
So, I'm by the end of the year, I told
that
you.
That means they have to go, they have to, they, I mean.
Yeah, they'd have to go like, 6-4, 7-3 to make a legit run at it.
7-3.
Yeah, because I think 8-8 puts you on the cusp of it. Close in the AFC, maybe I'm wrong. If it ends up being 10-6 at a minimum, then the Jets won't come close, and I'll be wrong.
So you think the Jets are closer to the playoffs than the Celtics are to the NBA Finals? I didn't say winning it.
Yeah, I understand what you said. Yeah. I don't think the Celtics, again, to me, the gap between the championship caliber teams and the NBA and everybody else is huge. So maybe you finish fifth in the league. I think that means you're miles away from the championship.
Do you think the Sixers are championship caliber?
No.
Okay. So that's who they're going against here, you understand?
Yeah. Again, I might tell you that the Jets might be closer to a championship than the Sixers. That one's close. Jets closer to the playoffs than the Sixers.
Okay.
So in the NBA, I think realistically, you know, there are four or five teams that can win the championship.
You're overrating the Jets and underrating the Celts.
No, I'm not.
But we'll see, won't we? We'll see.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Yes, we shall.
Off and running on an agenda-free Friday to you right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5, Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Now, my understanding is that the MRI has happened and happened earlier this morning. Obviously, with someone as important as Patrick Mahomes, you want to get it done as soon as you possibly can. And sources have told me and James Palmer as well that the MRI confirmed that Patrick Mahomes did, in fact, have a dislocated kneecap, but there was not much additional damage, not significant additional damage to Patrick Mahomes. The plan as of late last night was for him to miss at least 3 weeks. I'm told nothing has changed in that plan, so the expectation is the Chiefs do get their MVP, the reigning MVP, and another MVP candidate back at some point relatively soon this season. He is going to seek additional opinions, but at the very least, the early returns are extremely good for Kansas City.
That's Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network Today. So news is good on Mahomes, relatively speaking, not season ending. You heard it there, 3 weeks. Do you blame the Chiefs for running him in there on a quarterback sneak?
No.
A bit. I thought that that was so stupid, just based on the ankle injury alone. Like, you have to put you have to put pressure on that, or some torque on that injured ankle as it is, and you're going headfirst into a nose tackle. Take the 3 points. I hate when teams chase points anyway. They didn't need it at that point.
I mean, the Patriots do it all the time.
I think it's one of the safest plays in football.
I don't blame them at all for it. I don't.
But there was already a severe injury risk because Mahomes is dealing with a bad ankle injury. Now, granted, this was a different injury, but still, just take the three.
When's the last time you saw a quarterback get hurt on a quarterback sneak?
That's maybe the first time ever.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened. I just can't remember it.
No, me neither. I have no issue with it whatsoever. It didn't even cross my mind, in fact. Like, I mean, I would tell you that, you know, if they were calling bootlegs and,
quarterback draw is different.
Right, that's a totally different thing. This is like, stick your head down and get a yard. I mean, it's just people falling on each other. I think it was kind of a fluke thing.
Totally fluke.
What a nightmare, though. Oh, man.
Oh, it is. It's horrible. It is. It's bad for the league, too, because he is the, I mean, particularly whether you want to talk about generating interest among young fans, that's where he is the guy.
And were you watching it in real time? Did you see when they popped it back in?
Yes.
Ghastly, right? Oh, my God.
All right. To your thoughts, let's bring back Guy in Boston on line two. Jimmy, if you could. Guy, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi. Hi, Guy.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Guy.
I got something to say to you and Murray, but Maz is really going to hate me because I'm going to piss on his agenda Friday. Hey, Maz, do you know who the next quarterback is to bite the bullet? Try the West Coast because the 42-year-old keeps playing. Thank you.
Listen, Guy, I'm not upset about you taking a leak in my cornflakes on Friday.
There's been a million quarterback injuries across the league. Can you believe Garoppolo's still standing?
Oh, give him time. Give him time. So again, he's never played more than five consecutive games without injury in a regular season. In any regular season. He did it with the Niners at the end of his first year there after the trade. He played in five in a row. They're 5-0 now, right? They haven't played six yet.
That's right.
So this is their sixth game this week. When he gets through it, if he gets through it, they should throw him a freaking parade.
Again, agenda-free Friday. Let's grab caller on line one. I have a subject line, Jimmy, but not his name. Whoever this is, what's his name?
The Fugitive.
Okay.
Yes, it's the Patriots sports ticket Fugitive.
It's the Fugitive on line one on the Celtics. Go ahead.
Maz, you value shooting, correct?
I do value shooting. I love shooters, Luke.
Yeah, so how are you so high on Philly when they lost Reddick and Butler? And just quick, real quick, to restate what Felger said, you believe the Jets have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Celtics reaching the finals?
Yes, correct. Yep.
Reaching the finals? You think the Jets have a better chance to get to the playoffs than Boston beating Philly or Milwaukee?
Thank you.
Yes, correct. They're not going to beat Milwaukee.
Come on. Why are you so – okay, so you they can beat Philly, though.
With some luck. Celtics are extremely overrated, Luke.
We're just talking about the odds of it.
Overrated, Maz? They're rated third in a crappy East.
Exactly.
And they just beat Milwaukee and Philly within recent history without Kyrie or Hayward.
No. So, again, this is the word that I got hung up on was the word contender. Okay, that's the word I got hung up on. And so I'm telling you, the Celtics are going to make the playoffs. Of course they're going to make the playoffs. But they are not a threat. They are not a threat to win the championship.
Are they a threat to win the East?
The finals?
Not really.
Can they make the finals?
Okay, Luke, I'm with you, babe. They are a threat to win the East.
I'd be surprised if they made the finals.
Of course they can. Take that step?
I'd be more surprised of the Celtics making the finals than the Jets making the playoffs.
To me, it's more about the field.
Stop being a jerk.
Luke, thanks for the call. To me, it's more about the field. And next year, by the way, it all changes. Next year, you won't hear me saying this.
Yeah, I'm not talking about next year. Neither am I.
I'm just telling you, when it's Durant and Kyrie Irving, and you know, then forget about it. That's a whole different story. You are truly a middler. This year, the door is still ajar. Kawhi Leonard's out of the conference. LeBron James is out of the conference. And if you're putting Giannis in that category, that's a mistake. He's not in that category. He is not. Believe me, I would love it if he was. I'd shake my ass at you all day long if he was. He's not. He's not. And, I, you know, get Lifshatz on the line, would you please? Or Joe Murray? I'm going to bet the Celtics to win the East. What are the odds? I bet there's a good odds there for them to win the East. If they're the third team in the East and the Vegas continues to put Philly ahead of Boston, it's a mistake. They're not. They're not. Milwaukee is. Milwaukee will be favored over them, and I get that. But I think they're vulnerable, too. I'm not joking. Can we get Lifshatz on the line?
I'll look it up for you online. Okay. I have access to these sites.
No, but I actually want to put some units on it. Okay, so I actually want to place this bet. Celtics to win the East.
I'll believe you depending on how many units you put down.
And then next year, when Durant's healthy, then it all changes. Then it's true. Then it's like then it's LeBron's back in the conference or Kawhi Leonard's in the conference, and then fine. You're up against it, but not this year. Let's grab, is it Graham in Rhode Island on line two or line three? Go ahead, Graham, you're up. Hello, Graham. Or Gran, who is this? Okay, Jimmy, you got to let him go. He's not answering. I'm sorry.
What? I'm here.
Okay, go ahead here.
Hey.
Go.
Yeah, hey, what's up? I've been listening to your program for 4 years. Luke is the whiniest guy I've ever heard in my life. So just put that out there. Are you still there?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. So Pro Football Reference has a strength of schedule metric that they assign to each of the teams. I just want to say for the past 5 years, Patriots have had the 24th. So starting from 2015, they've had the 24th weakest schedule, 32nd, 25th, 30th, and this year they're at historically low 32nd strength of schedule. Compare that to the 91 Bills and the 99 Rams gray show on turf for also historic low strength of schedules. So I want to ask, how do you think that that has contributed to their continued success in these past 5 years?
Oh, it's contributed to it. And thank you. I'll let you go, Jimmy. You could drop them, please. This is all my answer to the Don Elway thing I'll give you later on, but it's all the Mahomes injury, John Elway, your schedule, it all ties into one thing. You've taken advantage of a bad league, and it's...
You get an easy road.
You've had an easy road, and you've taken advantage. Good for you, you've taken advantage, but it diminishes it a little bit. It does, and I'll give you more on that here coming up, but it's just a fact. You've taken advantage of a down league, of a bad league. More on this, line five there, Jimmy, please. Matt in Braintree on the Pats. Go ahead, Matt.
Yes, so good segue, Felger. So now that with the Mahomes injury, they're obviously a weaker team. Undefeated is a legitimate thing now. I know Murray hates it, but now you got to make some sort of trade, right? I mean, they're definitely thinking about it. Like they're definitely saying, we can go undefeated. We got to make a big trade, right?
I think they're more than willing to make a big trade and improve the team. I think they want to. But, I mean, this is independent, and I'll let you go. This is independent of the Mahomes injury or not. I think they've been looking to do this the entire year. They've been, you know, they've spent a ton of money. They're, you know, like allegedly up against the cap. They go after really questionable guys like Antonio Brown and Michael Bennett and, you know, pay real money to do it. They've got, you know, guys that at the top of their defensive payroll that they haven't restructured that they would normally restructure. I think they're all in, and they'll continue to be all in. The trade deadline's the 29th, and I think they're going to do something.
Yeah, I still think they're going to make a move. I have a hard time believing that they could get to this stage given what some of their needs are. And their needs are apparent. Again, we can say that they have enough or they don't or whatever, but they could use some help. So, like, I have a hard time believing they're going to get past the 29th and they're not going to add something on offense.
Here comes an update from Murray, the latest on Pat Mahomes and the world of sports. We come back with a quick Bruins Minute and the email of the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
DeBrus gets the signal. He turns the legs, grabs the puck, cuts into the slot, stick handles, forehand, shoots, and Vasilevsky the save. And the Tampa Bay Lightning have beaten the Boston Bruins in the shootout by a final of 4-3.
Well, we win the game, right, tonight if we get secondary scoring from anybody. So I think we're stating the obvious saying that. Having said that, our record is pretty good without it, but I don't think it's sustainable.
Once again, Bruce Cassidy just telling it like it is. Not sustainable. And that's the story of the game last night for the Bruins. They get a point. They play to a regulation draw with Tampa, best roster in the league, and then lose in the shootout. So you'd say, like, decent result there, which it is. But I feel like they're still stuck in the same rut, and that is first line is through the roof. They score on the power play. Their goaltending's good, although last night the third one was a little scratchy. But for the most part, their goaltending's excellent. Their first line is through the roof. They score on the power play. Defense is decent. And everything else, below par. 5-on-5, they get smoked. They got smoked 5-on-5 last night. Smoked. It was 3-3, all three goals on the power play. And as if this sounds familiar to you, Pastrnak from Bergeron. Bergeron from Pastrnak and Marchand and Krug. Pastrnak from Krug and Bergeron. Those were the three goals.
Absolutely.
All power plays, all the same guys. Night after night after night. All the same guys. All on the power play. Everything else, nothing. 5-on-5, they got smoked. 3-0 goal advantage to Tampa Bay, 5-on-5 last night. Advanced stats thanks to Ty Anderson. Scoring chances, 5-on-5, Tampa Bay 26-10. 26-10 scoring chance advantage, 5-on-5. High danger chances, high quality chances, 10-4 advantage, 5-on-5. Does it sound familiar? Stanley Cup Finals?
Absolutely. That was the entirety of the Stanley Cup Finals.
This is the team you became last year. You had to draw penalties, embellish penalties to get on the power play. That's how you scored. That's how you won. You've become the Canadiens or the Vancouver Canucks. That's who you are, which is good enough to get to a certain level, but I don't know how you win a cup being a bad 5-on-5 team or getting outplayed 5-on-5. So until that changes, I don't know how their equation changes. And that's the game thought on last night. And good for Bruce Cassidy for calling it out.
Yeah, and he's right, too, especially with guys like DeBrusque and Coyle who haven't scored yet. So besides the perfection line and Krug, only one guy in this team has more than a point, and that's Corrali, who had a chance with that inside post in overtime. But that can't happen through seven games. And I would think that DeBrusque and Coyle will eventually wake up, but it's annoying because this is what helped bury them last year.
I mean, DeBrusque is starting to bug the crap out of me. I don't know why, but he is. I just feel like he's kind of, he wasn't good in the postseason last year. Maybe he was banged up. I don't feel like he's playing well. I know Krejci's missed some time here, too. That's just as an aside, but it is. It's the same old crap over and over again.
So Cassidy could also do something about it and break up that line, but he refuses to. So he's part of the problem, I would say. I mean, good for him for calling it out, but he could also do something to affect that change by splitting those guys up. But anyway, Bruins are good result last night, or decent result, but there's a ceiling, like he said, not sustainable. All right, let's do some emails of the day, Jimmy. What do we got on this, please?
It's the Moncast Email of the Day!
Dear Felga, I fucking hate you. And I think Maz is a douche.
The Moncast Email of the Day! Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Okay, Mimecast is the official email and cyber resilience email provider of the New England Patriots. Protect your business email from cyber attacks with cloud solutions from Mimecast, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Visit Mimecast.com today. I have a couple. First from Chris in Italy. Thanks for tuning in.
This guy's email was tremendous.
Maz's pies on. Subject line, what's going on in that studio?
Cristoforo.
He says, what is Big Jim slipping into everyone's morning iced coffees? I feel like everyone in that studio this week is losing their freaking minds. Felger thinking Daron Harmon is a key player. Maz vouching for the boo-hoo Tuca crew. And Murray thinking that Pat Shermer, or however you spell, and he didn't know how to spell it, or however you spell that, deserves some kind of coach of the year consideration. What's next? Jimmy going to confess that he wants Kyrie Irving back? When does the madness end? Shout out to Guy in Boston. Thank you.
Tremendous email. Tremendous.
It is true. It's been quite a week in studio. New levels of bitchiness. I've liked it. Then, of course, I got these. I got plenty of these. I'll just give you two. Subject line, the Don. Hey, Felger. How do you like the Don now, you hoof-wanking imbecile? This is one of the worst quarterback performances I've ever seen. Ask Murray, who made a bigger deal with the devil to win a Super Bowl, Flacco or Nick Foles? Love the show, by the way. Old English Dan in Boston. Next email, subject line, the Don. Mike says, John, I won't give you his last name. John says, Mike, great job by Bucky Beaver, a.k.a. the Don. Flacco sacked 19 times or whatever. Their offense can't score, and their coach looks clueless. Rocky Mountain High. John Denver would be a better GM, and he's dead. That's not necessary. Sign John.
Cheap shot.
That Flacco performance, I couldn't watch it.
Oh, my God, was he awful.
I couldn't watch it. I said, it's, you know, that was, I mean, we all lived that for how long? 7 years with Drew Bledsoe. Except that's an insult to Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe got rid of the ball quicker than that. And Bledsoe was glacial. Dinosaur out there. Has Flacco ever looked at a pass rush in his life? Yeah, how long has he been in the freaking league?
Good question.
How long has that guy been in the damn league?
He looked to me last night like he didn't care.
Right. He looked like he was going through the motions. He really did. Or like he was trying to get hurt.
Is that it? Or he's just... What? How could you be in the league that long and not be able to identify who's coming, at least some of the time? At least some of the time.
Yeah, that line stinks. But of those 8 sacks, 8... I'd say 4 were his fault, at least.
It's unbelievable.
He does. He doesn't get rid of the ball. And then when he does, he throws it into a defensive lineman's hands. How tall is Flacco? 6'6", 6'5"? How tall is he?
He's big.
Isn't that bug the crap out of you, too, the whole thing?
It
was one of the most pathetic performances I've ever seen.
Pat, sack. Pat, ball on the ground. Bledsoe. But, like, 2 times worse? Like, twice as bad? This guy's been in the league forever. And he has no internal clock. None.
6'6".
Doesn't know when to get rid of the ball. Can't identify guys coming at him. Never mind eluding the rush. I mean, those are your physical constraints, so I don't expect that. But after all that effing time in the league, oh my God. That is, I'm with Murray, his opening take. That's one of those games where whoever the surviving Bolin is that's running things, that's one of those days you walk in Monday morning and fire everybody. Seriously. How do you...
That's humiliating is what that was overall.
The Broncos were still in it, whether you believe, you know.
They were.
Just on paper. 2-4. Kansas City was 4-2. Mahomes rips his knee, and they kick a field goal to go up 13-6, and Denver gets the ball back. Okay, so here you go. You're down 7 points. The whole game is ahead of you. If you win, you're 3-4, a game out of first place with the tiebreaker. Right there, it's there. There it is. There's your season. It was a first or second play. Strip sack touchdown for Kansas City.
Yep.
And there it goes. And there it goes. Because that quarterback has no clue how to deal with the rush or get rid of the ball. It's mind numbing.
Mike, I tell you, they were still in the game even after that. It's 20-6 at halftime. But again, Mahomes is out. He's gone.
And the division's there.
Right.
It's wide open.
You have a good defense. You score a touchdown in the third quarter. It's 20-13 going into the fourth. They've got Matt Moore playing quarterback. They've got a bad defense. Like the whole thing, you could have still won that game.
Okay, so this all leads to, and I'll get to this next. You were right. I was wrong. John Elway, fraud. Fraud, flash in the pan. Don, it's a joke. You're right. I'm wrong. Which I thought we had a statute of limitations on this thing, but fine. You can keep doing it. It's fine. But that then means that we all have to agree on something else. And I'll get to that something else right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You know Mike Felger like John Elway a little much.
I think Elway's a Don.
You know Mike Felger like John Elway a little much.
Elway's got something up his sleeve, he always
does. He calls him Don.
I think he's the Don.
He's sort of Don.
I just think he deserves credit.
But he won't tear me, cause he like a John Elway a bit too much.
God, you love Elway. You guys like to do In Bill We Trust?
I'm a Denver Bronco fan. I feel the same way about Elway.
You talk about Elway like fans in this town talk about Belichick.
Elway took over, and in 4 years, they went to 2 Super Bowls, won 4 division titles. All of it worked. I think he's the Don.
You can act like a man. What's the matter with you?
I thought we established a statute of limitations on it. 3 years, right?
I believe that's correct.
Maz was pining for 2.
I wanted 2. I think 2. I if you really want my feeling, I was going to say 1.
What's the date on that one, Jimmy? What was the original air date of that?
It's got to be 2016.
2015?
4 years. That's past the statute. You can't convict me for that. We're past the statute of limitations.
I mean, you know how I feel about
At
it.
At some point, you can't, you know, every time the Jets lose, you can't go, bleh.
Don't we always revisit the Giants being the Patriots in 2 Super Bowls? And that would be 12 years
we
on
haven't,
the early
We
one?
Haven't really done it much. We haven't. You know, we played the Game 7 Blues stuff, but that was 4 months ago. That's within the statute of limitations. There's a statute of limitations on this stuff now, I think.
Oh, definitely. Listen.
On bad takes?
With all the stupid crap I've said, I'm good with a statute of 1 year.
At some point, you're right or you're wrong, and then you're wrong, and then it's over. Like, okay.
But when you shake your ass that much into people's faces, some things deserve to be.
Well, okay, so fine. Yeah, like I said, I'll give it to you. It's outside of the statute of limitations, but it's all good.
Thank you.
It's all good. So here's what now we have to come to grips with. I was wrong about John Elway. I was wrong about the Jets. I've been trying to help you out, actually, when you think about it. I've been trying to pump up the competition. But it turns out I've been wrong. I'm wrong, you're right. Like, I'm not even being sarcastic.
Here comes the pretzel twisting.
There's no pretzel twisting. This is straight logic, which is you're going to have a hard time with because it's just straight logic. I was wrong. The Jets were frauds, flash in the pan. John Elway, frauds, flash in the pan. Turns out, had nothing going on, just got lucky, inherited a good team, and got lucky with Peyton Manning. You're right. And if we just go through the years here, in this 20 years, you guys are right. Peyton Manning was a loser. Half the quarterback Brady is. You're right. Cowher, Tomlin, suck. Tony Dungy, a joke. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. I've been wrong. You're right. This is not pretzel twisting. It's logic. So basically what you're saying is, and I think you're right, that you've had the benefit of going on your run when the league, and especially the conference, is at an all-time low. I mean, seriously, one bozo after the next, there's been no worthy adversary. And I'm not just talking about, you know, talent drain, because I think the talent's there on the field. I'm talking like brain drain. I'm talking about coaches and executives and teams. You haven't had any competition. You haven't. And so you've taken advantage of it. I mean, good for you for taking advantage of it, but the fact is, you've risen to power when your competition is at this sort of weird all-time low. And I don't know and I don't know what contributed to it, but remember when we were kids, Maz?
There's a vacuum.
There's a vacuum there. I mean, look, when we were kids, all the talented coaches, all the programs, remember when we were kids? Landry, Shula, Gibbs, Parcells, Bill Walsh. That was the league at one time in one era. All those teams, when I was a kid, that was the league. All these great programs, these consistent winning teams, Raiders, Redskins, Dolphins, Cowboys, Niners, on and on. That was the league when I was a kid. Now, your league? It's bozos who don't know what they're doing, like John Elway and the Jets and Tony Dungy and Bill Cowher.
Stooges.
So you've gone against a diminished league. So you're the tallest little person. It's kind of like, I almost want to put an asterisk on it. But it's just, this is the fact. You're right. I mean, I'm not pretzel twisting. I'm just
I almost want to put an asterisk on it.
Well, I mean, if John Elway's some bozo, then what accomplishment is it? I mean, good God. Imagine if Bill Walsh and Joe Montana played in this era. They wouldn't have 4. They'd have like 10. And maybe they wouldn't choke away Super Bowls like you have. Maybe they just clean up on these bozos as opposed to you going back and forth with them. But can you imagine Parcells, if Parcells got to go against the modern day, if Bill Parcells got to go against the modern day AFC East as opposed to that old NFC East, can you imagine?
7.
Can you imagine what Parcells would have, what Parcells had to go against? Gibbs, Landry, the Cowboys, the Redskins. And then if he got through there, it was the Niners and Walsh. And if he got through there, there was that great Bears team in the 80s. That's what he had to go against. You? You've had to go against, again, and a stupid me for once believing in him, but the Jets or John Elway or this group of clowns. You're right. You are right. It's one collection of clowns after the next. And even when there is someone that's halfway decent, they get hurt. Or they gag like Manning, and that's your league. So you're the tallest little person. We have to agree on this now, right? I mean, right, Murray? I mean, you're right about John Elway. So, I mean,
who? No, I don't know. No,
I mean,
you
the
want
last
everything
20...
black and white, and there have been dips here. I mean, the Broncos did one up the Patriots.
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't know. They did.
Oh, wait a minute. So now.
What happened in 2015?
Who's pretzel twisting now?
I'm not at all.
You said John Elway sucks and he's a joke.
Yeah, when it comes to the evaluation of the quarterback, which you wanted to shove down my and everybody else's throat that, oh, he's the Don. Every move he makes is correct. That's not true.
This is a Bavarian pretzel. Either no. John Elway sucks or he's a worthy adversary.
No. You're... Mike, what you're saying is...
Your problem is I use logic.
No. What you're being a complete a-hole about it is what it is. That's my problem with it. You want everything black and white. There's no gray area ever. And you're just upset that you got made a fool with this John Elway thing. He's a Don. Every move he makes is right. Oh, he got Peyton Manning. What's he done since? This is about the quarterback position.
No, you're right.
Not about the competition overall.
You're right. I was wrong.
And so what? You're also going to discredit what the Colts did? The Colts weren't a worthy adversary in that first half of this whole run for the Patriots?
Was Tony Dungy a good coach?
He won up the Patriots in 06. They won one of those.
Oh, so, well, how come I haven't heard
have
all this?
Have I sat here and ever bashed Tony Dungy?
It's okay, guys. You've beaten up on a bad league. You've taken advantage of...
You don't get this one. You don't get it.
Give you full... No, I am. I'm definitely giving it to you. I was wrong about John Elway. So who's been the worthy adversary? Just think if Montana got to play in this era. Think if Parcells got to play and coach against the AFC East of the 2000s. Versus the NFC East of the 80s.
Cool. Invent a time machine. Let's try to make it happen in this fantasy world that you're trying to make up.
How many would he have? How many would Montana and Walsh have going against this conference versus that conference they had to go against in the 80s?
I don't know. Why don't you predict it? We do predictions on this show now?
Parcells, yes, I demand them. Parcells, Gibbs.
Give me a number. How many wins? How many would they have over the Pats, Mike?
Would they have lost players in free agency?
You know what? I think they would have had more Super Bowls than you. They certainly wouldn't have gagged like you gagged against some of these bums. I mean, John Elway beat you. This clown, he beat you. When did Walsh and Montana ever lose when it mattered? I mean, they had a few one and dones, but that was to the Giants, the Super Bowl Giants team, or some of those great teams of the 80s. So I'm sorry that I have to use logic, but you're right. You're right, and I've been wrong. None of these guys have been worthy. I tried to make them worthy, but they weren't. I've been wrong. So you're right. You've been the biggest little person. That's it. Congratulations. Sorry, I had to bring logic into the proceedings.
You are unbelievable. You're unbelievable.
It's unassailable logic.
Flacco sucks.
He sure does.
Flacco sucks.
Horrible.
Okay, he's brutal.
And so does Elway. You're right. You are right. So does Elway.
So I never said Elway sucked.
I'm not talking to you.
So don't you think that Elway, since Manning, has mismanaged the quarterback situation?
Oh, brutal. Horrible.
Does that mean he sucks?
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It means he's not what I said he was. No. You guys were right. I was wrong.
Well, you had him out to be the godfather for crying out loud.
I thought he had a good run, but it turns out it was just a run. It was just a flash in the pan. It turns out he's not a worthy adversary. He's just another clown.
And this is where you're twisting it. So he did have a good run. The Jets had a good run. The Seattle Seahawks had a good run. There's been worthy adversaries
to this
two decades of dominance.
Pete Carroll.
So no one else has been able to do it
back in the
this
80s,
level of sustainability.
Gibbs, Landry, Shula, Walsh. Parcells, and you give me Pete Carroll. That proves my point. I'll just put a little asterisk next to you guys. Great run. I've enjoyed it. And there's nothing wrong with being the tallest little person, but that's just, turns out that's what you are. So back to your phones here on Agenda Free Friday after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.